we're thinking about Labor Day, so just for a moment, know that my first job was delivering newspapers. And the thing I hated about the job was you get a big bag of newspapers, you put it on your shoulder, and my shoulder was killing me. You know, I never was one to carry things. So the great blessing on my first job was that I got a bicycle with baskets. And I put the newspaper bike around and delivered those newspapers and would collect from the people, you know, to pay for them. A great first job to learn and value. And, you know, I mean, all first jobs, I think they're really important, part of our story, part of the story of the fact that we, you know, no matter where we are now, we started working somewhere, and something that we're a part of. It's just something God has given us to do, that we are busy doing something to help contribute to the world. And may God continue to bless us in doing that. So the message today is on Galatians 6, final one on Galatians. Next week, we turn to Mark, Gospel of Mark. And this passage is a little bit harder, but I think the main message of it is helping and empowering each other in all humility. So that's Paul's final conclusion of using our freedom in Christ to bless each other. And what Paul is focused on doing is he wants to make the community of faith that he's talking to, Galatians, of course, the churches there in that Galatian area of Turkey, in that part of the world, but ultimately this applies to any congregation anywhere. He wants to make the community work so well that there will be continually a building up and renewing of all people. He wants to impress upon us how important it is that we are each other's keeper and helper and sponsor. We are working together. And this is how we lift each other up. This is how we encourage each other to go forward. We're partners with the family here in the Philippines. And you hear what they're doing because they have a partnership with us. But also we do this with each other in our own body and community. Yet in doing this work, we have to be careful because there are traps we can fall into where we are tempted to go the wrong way together. And sometimes we're in the wrong place together, and we need to be careful of that. So there's a joining together, there's a working together, there's a way in which we all put our hands together to become what God wants us to be. And we have to be so careful doing all this to be aware that God is watching over and protecting us, and that we need that protection and watching over, just like this father and child in the water, you know. God is like that. He's a father God who wants to care for us and protect us as we go through this life, try to build community, and stay safe on our journey of faith. So my summary of this text was this. Paul is finally, in chapter 6, applying lessons to help these Christians live in loving community. And verse 2 of chapter 6 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." You see that? Working together, helping, as we are praying together and talking together about the things we need to lift up in prayer. And he says, in this you care about sin, because he's going to talk to us about sin. I'm hearing something, Dave. There's some wine here, just... in this, you care about sin, and you care that people... thank you, that's a little better. You care that people need to be restored out of sin. But now this way is not harsh, but gentle, loving, righteous, patient, and helpful. That really illustrates a beautiful working community. You who live by the Spirit should restore the person gently who's fallen into sin, but watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted, and carry each other's burdens. And finally, summary is, and then a big lesson is that this freedom you have found in Christ comes with obligations. That's the whole part of being in a community. You're not free from having to respond in your freedom to doing what God wants you to do. You practice good self-care, and you keep from judging others and being conceited. being careful in how you approach each other. And he offers a critical encouragement: do not become weary of doing good. Paul is being very practical, he's being very helpful, and he acknowledges and he knows that sometimes people can lose their energy for doing what God wants them to do. They can run out of steam, and he wants to encourage us to keep going. So the final in chapter 6 is this verse 3 and 4, and I skip to 9. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Let us not become weary of doing good, for we will reap a harvest. Just don't give up. So let us pray a moment before we actually read that. We're going to read the first part of chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. Dear Lord, thank you for the ongoing work and blessing of the Holy Spirit, who inspires us in our work. As we were hearing about mission work in the Philippines, the Holy Spirit was leading them in various situations. We know that the Spirit is leading us as we pray and share with each other. We know that the Holy Spirit is leading us as we come together to worship and trust you to empower us. May your Holy Spirit continue to lead us into wisdom and guide us into truth through our dwelling on the Scriptures and talking about them here together. Bless the thoughts of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just to read this scripture through from 1 to 10, and then we'll summarize the last part. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should all share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for all, at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And then I skip on to verse 14. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to him. Now, this last chapter, in some ways, is a little bit disjointed. Like he says, if anyone learns anything, they should share it with their instructor. It's a bit out of place. But that theme running through it, I believe, is there. That the life of freedom in Christ comes with obligations. Once you are set free, you must respond with praise and gratitude to God. That's my lifting up of the hands with the light shining. Lift up your hands in praise and gratitude to God. And then turn in gentleness and caring to others. Turn in to serve them. That's the picture of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. That picture of us being here to support each other, lift each other up, and help us get beyond the barriers, the traps, the obstacles that need to be taken out of the way. And we need to do this together. The togetherness of the church of Jesus Christ is a powerful blessing, and that is why it's so wonderful. No matter what got in the way this morning, getting out of bed, just getting in the car and traveling to church, you are doing something for yourself that is beautiful, because God needs us to be together to help us encourage each other. And it's a beautiful thing. Now, interestingly, Paul does say, if someone's caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore the person gently. So being caught in sin is, it's like it's something in secret. And that's often the way sin works. Something you do out of the way, you don't let anybody know, you don't bring it into the community, but then you're found out. And then someone says, who comes alongside of you? Are they going to come with a wagging finger? Are they going to come with the gentle helpfulness? And that's really important. Getting caught in sin, it's like getting caught in a spider's web. You know, a fly flies around and gets caught in the spider's web and it's stuck, and then it dies there usually. We kind of, that's what happens with sin. It kind of sticks to us, or we stick to it, and it becomes a problem. And then we end up living our lives below the level that God calls us to. God calls us to a high bar of living that helps us to be the person we're meant to be. And whenever we're falling down below that, that's why he says restore. Lift up. Bring person back to stand and be able to be strong. The most important driving theme here is that living out Christian freedom asks us to do so with responsibility and with great care. So that's why I put up this sign. Take responsibility for your life. There's a way in which we're called by God to stand up and be counted for our walking our walk of faith, for following down the road, taking the right, when the fork in the road comes, that we don't follow the way of the flesh, we follow the way of the Spirit. And to live by the Spirit is to allow the Holy Spirit the opportunity to convict us and lead us in our walk with Christ. And that walk is always a building the person up. You are going to go in advance. And this is an interesting thing, this picture of response, personal responsibility. When a person has taken hold of that and knows they have to work at being the person God has called us to be, you go, you learn self-control, you follow, you honor the boundaries God has set, that you don't transgress them. And then you experience your freedom within the boundaries God has set us to be in, and you learn values, good values, you know, hard work, honesty, fairness, and there are multitude of more that are part of that. You make good choices that leads to good outcomes, and you are learning your lessons. If you listen to a great leader who has built a big company or something or become a great CEO, they will tell you that they're always a learner. They're a learner kind of person. They will take mistakes and they will learn from them, and they will learn lessons and always be seeking wisdom. The person who is really working close step with the Holy Spirit is a person whose wisdom will grow and will develop as you take personal responsibility for your life. We can sow, or in other words, like a farming analogy, sowing, you know, you're putting your seed. Where are you going to plant? Where are you going to invest your life? And he says, fork in the road. You know, you can invest in the flesh, or you can follow the Spirit and let the Spirit take control. And one pathway leads to destructive behaviors, destructive outcomes, and ultimately, you know, leads you to a life apart from God. Or we can sow or work or behave to please the Holy Spirit, which leads to abundant life here and now and eternal life for our futures. So that fork in the road, very important part of what we have to do. And we are to be living the life of the Holy Spirit. This is a mosaic of the Spirit as a dove coming down. Live the life of the Holy Spirit, enjoying the freedom found in Christ by correcting one another gently with great compassion and love. We do not draw back from making things right, but we cannot leave people going the wrong way. And the picture here is kind of a small group. Now, if you've ever, you know, looked at recovery, and maybe we walk by the Guam Behavioral Wellness Center, and I think that's a recovery center for people out of addictions. And one of the keys to having people come out of addiction is you get this group, And someone sits in the chair and they tell their story. This is how my life fell apart. And now I'm here to try to put it back together. And the, you know, this is a beautiful example of coming alongside, putting a hand on the shoulder, and gently helping that person find a way to live responsibly and start to rebuild their life, going up to wisdom again, instead of being caught and trapped in a destructive pattern of life. And so that is a great illustration for us as Christians. We correct in love and with great care, but we correct. We're not afraid to say, this is wrong. You know, this is transgression. This is behavior that will not be productive for God and His Holy Spirit. He wants us to be convicted of our sin and to be able to hold each other responsible too, be accountable to one another. But we are careful to allow this work to go on, but not allowing us to fall into that same behavior. Our intention is always to restore someone. And most importantly, in our judging one another, we are merciful. We do not come harshly at one another. And this is this great little illustration of the 2x4 in your eye when you're trying to take someone's speck out of another person's eye. It's just a beautiful little illustration. It says, hey, bub, you have a little something in your eye there. You know, and that just encaptures that idea, which is powerful again. And Jesus was using this teaching to say to us, we are easily one who wants to judge. And often, and it's one of the patterns of human behavior is someone who's really harshly judging often has something hidden in their own life, many times. And so that whole pattern of behavior is not good. And so he's saying, be careful that you know that you are susceptible to a weak point of weakness, and we help others in their weakness to be built up. The great problem that Paul reminds us of in verse 7, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked, a man reaps what he sows, is that we should not fall into self-deception, because God is a God of truth. God is a God of truth and omniscient. God knows. God knows us, and He sees us. He sees all things. He knows all things. And that is a powerful thing. So he says, you cannot, you can do this, and you think you're defying God. You can think you can live your life without God, but in the end, you will reap destruction down the road. God knows things far beyond our ability to hide them. That's one of the key points, right? Far beyond our ability to hide them. We want to do these things in secret, but God knows. We are really like Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam and Eve in the garden have sinned, and what do? They want to cover their nakedness. And what do they use? They use leaves. Leaves are going to be there for a day. The next day, they're going to be dried up and gone. They're not going to work. And that is really an illustration, again, an analogy of how when we hide our sin, we cannot cover our nakedness, our shame, our brokenness in reality. It will come and become apparent. And we need to be honest to God and open and transparent to each other. That is really the key part of living a healthy, productive Christian life. We need our Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior, our leader, our companion, our guide. He promises all of that. Savior, saving us from our sin, our leader, showing us the example, the way to walk. He's our companion, helping us as we go along. If we stumble, He will be there to help us. We have Jesus as our friend all the time. But Jesus calls us to be like Him. So we have each other too. And when He called Thomas the tax collector, He did not call him a liar or a cheater. That was the problem with tax collectors in the day of Jesus. He called him to be His disciple, and He let him learn how to be a better person. He didn't shame him. He didn't lecture or shout at him. He said to Thomas, come and be my disciple, and I will show you how to live a better life. And I'm using that example because remember the story of Zacchaeus up in the tree? Well, Zacchaeus wants to know Jesus. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. And when he goes to his house to be with him, what does Zacchaeus do? He begins to repay from all the wealth he's collected from people because of his tax collecting, because it's a cheating, thieving kind of practice. They could extort taxes out of people. I mean, I know we feel that sometimes about our own governments, but we've got to be thankful that we have popular representation on our taxes, and we're not being extorted, really. We can always do things better. But the thing about Zacchaeus is he learns from Jesus to repay his debts, and he becomes a better person. He comes out, and Jesus helps to restore him gently. He goes to his house to party with him. So we are called in our freedom to be responsible and to exercise excellent self-care. Look at yourself. Take stock of yourself. Be honest in assessing your strengths and weaknesses. I always hate that part of applying for a new job, you know. Sit there and explain to us what your weaknesses are. I hate it. It's terrible to have to do it. But you have to be aware of them, because that's why we really truly need each other. Where one person is weak, another can be strong. And that's self-care. That's testing our own actions. That's reviewing them to be sure they are in line with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the life of the Holy Spirit. And we are to carry our own loads, not purposely being a burden to others, so far as it lies in our power so to do. We are all equally in need of gathering at the cross, where we receive God's blessing and are renewed. So this gathering at the cross, I love this little picture, you know, but all of us, in your own mind, you know, we can all come to the cross and lay down our burdens. Jesus said, take my burden upon you, for it is light. Lay your burdens down, it is too heavy. And we come to the cross and we come to confess. And Paul declares that our boast or our pride or our team spirit comes from belonging to Jesus Christ. I belong to Jesus Christ. That is my boast. That's Paul's boast. He says in verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, let us gather as community at the cross. By doing this, we are then declaring that the Holy Spirit is the one who knows how to minister life to us and to give this life that is true life abundantly to the measure where it is overflowing. Have you ever grown tired of doing the same thing over and over again? I grew tired of shoveling snow, so I moved to Guam. I don't have to shovel snow anymore. I have to dodge coconuts, and I have to worry about geckos and big cockroaches and coconut crabs. But that's a different kind of thing. But, you know, that idea of growing weary, that's Paul's is saying, be encouraged and encourage each other. Because when someone is starting to lose their, you know, their Christians suffer from depression, Christians suffer from discouragement, Christians suffer from fallen, we are here not because we're perfect or we have some super high holiness. We're here because we need the Lord. And we come together at the cross and to ask God to help us. That is the beautiful thing about the Lord. And let's be reminded of Galatians 6, 14 and 15. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything at all. What counts is the new creation that the Lord has brought into our life, that he is feeding and filling us by the Holy Spirit to be the person God has called us to be. Remember that the message is, let us help and empower each other in all humility. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Holy God, dear Worker God, help us to be reminded to not become weary of doing good. Help us to be encouraged and strengthened in that walk of faith, and be reminded of the promise in Psalm 23, that you will lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, and that we will be provided all that we need to do that. Thank you for the power and working of the Holy Spirit to convince us that our encouragement is found in Jesus Christ. By belonging to him, we are part of a wonderful family of God. And we seek to express that family here in this place. We seek to be that family, Lord, as we go from this place and to continue to be a people of God. Thank you, Lord, that we could gather here this morning and have this time together and lift up each other's burdens and continue to encourage each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.